Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop. Right now I have Johannes Ekerström, lead vocalist from Avatar from Sweden. He's actually living now in Helsinki, Finland. They have a new album coming out called Hunter Gatherer out August 7th on E1 Records. They have a single that's been released. You probably heard it by now. First off, I just kind of wanted to check in with it with you. How have the last couple months treated you, and how have you been staying sane and safe during like the lockdown, during the pandemic? It's been a weird time, man. How have you been?
I really can't complain. Thank you. It's as far as it goes, people close to me, you know, my circle of loved ones and all that, they've been doing well.
Good.
Especially when it comes to, you know, my parents have had the privilege of the fact that my family has a summer house that they use all year round. So they could do their isolation in a place they like to spend time anyway and stay safe. And yeah, like you know, personal reasons here at home, I have had extra reason in participating and being extra careful and locking down more than has been, than otherwise would have been asked from me, from the States here, so to speak. But, you know, I'm in good company. Got the wife and the dog and all the birds on the island. I'm extremely familiar with the, you know, immediate vicinities of our home now, more than I've ever been in the years that we've been living here. So, which I guess this has really set in stone that one day, when it's time to put the boots and the face paint on and the hat and the cane on the shelf, and kind of limp away from the limelight, I guess ornithology will be a huge hobby.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, it's fine. You know, I've been able to work with things related to the band.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything booked in this period anyway.
Okay.
Now, as we enter the summer, I will start seeing in the calendar shows that we were supposed to play and we won't. And at some point, abstinence is going to kick in. But again, for the time being, for me personally, it could have been much worse.
It's good to hear, man. How have you been staying busy, like on a day-to-day basis, aside from band stuff? Have you picked up any hobbies, or been going on walks, or been you know, watching some movies that you wanted to revisit? How you been staying busy?
All of the above, I would say. I'm more disciplined in the home workout regimens.
Okay.
That's been a big thing. So yoga stuff mainly. And yeah, like I said, exploring this island we live on and the nature life there. became friends with, I read about city birds, those kind of, you know, those that you can see kind of everywhere, and the intelligence of crows. So we've been running this experiment as, you know, we can see our own families or our friends, but we start to befriend this little crow family with the help of corn.
Cool.
And they start to recognize us, and we start to really hang with them.
Nice.
So that, as far as hobbies goes, that, and then my wife is a way better photographer than I am, so I just point at things. That looks nice, and she takes the good pictures of it. And so passive secondhand, like secondhand smoking. I've been doing secondhand nature photography.
Nice. Dude, you know that you're really starting to relax when you become friends with crows.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's actually very true. But other than that, I feel like the days just, I don't know, we fill them up easily. We're talking, it's already the beginning of the evening here, and I still have so much to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's but I never had problems staying busy with work or fun things, you know, like it's, I can't remember last time I was actually bored.
Yeah.
So.
All right, man. That's good, dude. That's cool to hear. And I've just been curious about, you know, how people are spending their time. It's good to hear that you're kind of maybe, recharging. It sounds like that's awesome.
Yeah. Again, staying busy and, trying to make sense out of what's going on in the world. Like trying to, it's always like, especially looking at living in a country that is not my nation of where I was born.
Yeah.
And, then following closely what's happening there, and Finland and Sweden are so similar on, you know, the language is super different, but culturally, historically, we were the same nation for, I think it's almost 700 years or something.
Wow.
And that is reflected in the culture, you know, we're neighbors and all that, but what happened in the two different countries has been very, very different, and quite different policies. And it's too soon to really pass real judgment. And one day we'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
But still, I have concern. There are more people who get sick, more people who sadly died in Sweden than here in Finland, for instance.
Hmm. Well, okay. So, I mean, it sounds like you're staying obviously up to date with news and things like that. So I have a question about, but for instance, if you go a day where you're kind of just getting too much negativity, maybe from social media, if you see that, or from the news, is there like an album that you can go back to? What's an album that you can revisit time and time again and will, like, you know, put a smile on your face or give you that positive little boost?
Oh, wow. Those are many. We actually... for future use, just, you know, we start to learn that, hey, artists can post different playlists on what's called Spotify. So we right now we've been running through all band members what we're listening to right now, but we're all asked to put together kind of what we listened to when we were 14, and first make that kind of by wide definition and being very and allowing it to contain. I was thinking, yeah, when I was young, but then John, our drummer, he started to really cut off at the, you know, stuff he listened to in his life and enjoyed up until he was 14 years and 364 days, you know?
Yeah.
And then boom. So getting that more hard line on it. So I started to do the same, and that kind of reminded me a lot of what, you know, those things that you hear then really gets into your DNA later as a songwriter. And, I'm still an active Devin Townsend listener, and I've enjoyed also his latest album, The Empath, immensely, you know, and we toured together last year and all that, but still going back to remember, oh yeah, Physicist, that is, for instance, that came back to me, or, more Ozzy Osbourne stuff, because with the years I've been more, you know, leaning on Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And I also did back then, but there was a period when I started, the Swedish equivalent of high school, one of my shields to the world, and that you know, badges that you needed to wear, or hearts, markings to show who I was to people when I was 16, was writing Ozzy on my knuckles the way he has it tattooed.
Yeah.
And that kind of, and I think, for instance, Blizzard of Oz has a B-side that is crazy underappreciated, especially Revelation Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's, so I guess Blizzard of Oz, Physicist by Townsend, The German band Gravedigger is also one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Going back to that, in recent days, they did it on album called Tunes of War that I think predates, or is around the time of the Braveheart movie. Uh-huh. And it's this kind of raw German old school heavy metal band, but it came out in 96, so it was, you know, not hip at all, you know, their mullets and everything, but that makes me love it even more. And they did a weird concept album about the Scottish rebellion, medieval rebellion.
Oh, wow.
And that is very cheesy and very fantastic. And so, I don't know.
But that's the fun of it, right?
This question, just as you asked this question, it's been very specific things like that have been reawakened. Oh, and The Manufacturer by Fear Factory.
Nice.
Cool. The list goes on. But I had really had a period where your question was more on point than I guess you'd realize.
No worries, dude. Well, okay, let's get specific here then. Like back when you were a kid, and you know, we got like allowance money, or you like mowed someone's lawn, or however you got a few dollars. Mm-hmm. What was the first album that you ever purchased with your own money?
Anacia by Megadeth.
Nice. Okay. Nice, dude. And what? How did you hear about them? How did you know that you wanted to buy that with your own money?
Well, most of when I started to get into heavy music was through my older brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, cool. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, exactly. He had already a bunch of this. Like, I always attribute the fact that I stopped cutting my hair to hearing Helloween and Blind Guardian.
Okay.
Those two bands, that's still where it started. And, you know, then I had a lot of music to discover through my, you know, from my brother's record collection. And at the same time, and Metallica was there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then through a friend in school, but you know, that friend with which I started to get into heavy music with, and heavier music at the time, he showed me, I think, that album first. And I guess he had borrowed it from the library or something. And someone had drawn a piece of male genitalia between Famous Saint's leg on the CD.
Yeah.
On the picture printed on the CD, if I remember, or the inlay of the booklet. But he described Megadeth to me as like, this guy was so wild he got kicked out of Metallica. And so it became like, fittingly, like my brother was a Metallica guy and I was the little brother and wanted something wilder, and that was Megadeth.
Yeah.
So it started with Euthanasia became the first album I bought with my own money.
Nice, man. Well, what inspired you, I guess? Was there like a light bulb moment that made you decide like that you were going to, you know, transcend from just being a fan, you know, and just going in a regular direction to like being on stage and doing the band thing and becoming a musician? When did you decide that?
I think that dream predated metal for me.
Oh,
also,
okay.
My parents put me in front of a piano with a teacher when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
And I also, I'm not as good as you, you know, when someone says you start playing at the age of 4, you get a idea of how good they are. I'm not that kid. So because that particular teacher was sad, she was in a car accident when I was 8 or 9. She lived, but she got a whiplash and had to retire early.
Yeah.
So I transitioned to the trombone, actually. Yes.
Okay.
In that age in Sweden, you know, it was very accessible to get to play some kind of instrument. And I fell for the trombone at that age. And that's then later came the guitar and the singing and all the stuff we're doing now. But that means music was very present in my life since extremely early on.
Mm-hmm.
That so the idea of, you know, I can do this, that didn't seem so far off. And so that combined with that I saw pro wrestling on TV at the
I'm a big wrestling
combined
fan.
Yeah. Me too. Well, I'm a bit out of touch now because it doesn't work for me if there isn't an audience.
Sure, yeah.
Especially when the crowd's in.
Understand.
Right now, I'm actually watching Mid-Atlantic Wrestling from 1983 is where I'm
Oh my God,
at
man.
Right now.
We could talk
DBS
old school all day.
Feuding with Andre the Giant is what I'm, where I'm
awesome.
At right now. And they left me on a cliffhanger on last episode I saw last night. So, but being a kid, and this is, they showed it on Swedish TV with Swedish commentary. This is probably, you know, the so-called new generation era on the early 90s.
Yeah.
Initially, what we saw, what I got to see, and then once Hulk Hogan signed with WCW, the TV deals went where Hulk Hogan was. That is, you know, what the Europeans cared to buy and show the children here.
Watch WCW, so, yeah, Nitro.
Yeah, exactly. So those kind of things, at some point in that young age, but it must predate WCW, the way I remember it, that kind of superhero entering an arena and people cheer, mm-hmm. that image in my head also predated metal. And music was just something I did, and it had became so ingrained. And it's also a way I would play at a friend's house. He had a MIDI sequencer program where you could write, you know, sheet music basically into the computer, and it would play it. And because of those piano lessons, I could, you know, read sheet music and therefore write it as when we were, you know, 8 years old, I guess. So that was a way for us to play. Composing music was one of the things we played when we were kids together, this friend and I.
That's awesome.
So it was always there. So I the short answer, but, you know, I'm good. I'm filling out airtime, I guess. The short
all
answer,
good.
I don't even know when it began. It was kind of always there. And it all came together on one end, my brother showed me Blind Guardian and Halloween and all that. And on the other hand, you had Black Sabbath and learning the old school stuff fairly early on. It must have started again with that. The Megadeth friends through his parents, probably. You know, kind of where it started.
That's cool, man. You know, you kind of put me on, you kind of gave me kind of a, I don't know, I totally hit like a point where I realized, I was like, holy crap, like looking at you guys on stage and looking at your guys' extravagant setup and like your kind of the pageantry of it, I was like, that is totally wrestling. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. man. So,
I've learned a lot from pro wrestling in the later years, just hearing the old school people talk, I think, because we are a theatrical group,
yeah.
in the same way that I think pro wrestling is a theatrical sport, or, you know, in the sense that pro wrestlers aren't actors, they are reactors. Was said, you can find a YouTube clip where Al Snow says that, and I think that's quite brilliantly said. And that is also what the theater that happens on an avatar stage isn't based off a script and a character and acting. So it's not an act in that sense. We are who we are, and we just get to express ourselves in a way that few people get the opportunity to do.
Yeah.
And you do that in this symbiosis with the audience the wrestlers talk about the psychology of a match and ring mm-hmm. psychology and mm-hmm. listening to the crowd and moving with that and steering them where you want them to go, going on that trip together and being fed by the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a metal show.
Totally. That's awesome, man. That's cool. I never really thought about that, being a big metal fan and also a wrestling fan, but you being, you know, both of those things and being able to kind of describe it, it's kind of a beautiful thing for me. It totally makes this connection. I was like, yes. Okay. So if you were, suddenly put into the WWE Performance Center and you're making your debut on Monday Night Raw, if you were a wrestler, Johannes, what would your theme be? if you could choose?
Oh, man. It depends on, again, what gimmick I would have, wouldn't it? What would I use? Right now, I'm kind of inclined, on just because I'm sitting here where it's in front of me, maybe something Fear Factory-like would be cool.
Nice.
But I'm also, here's the thing, like, before they start to care about licensing back in the day,
yeah,
I would probably, Road Warriors had the best thing ever with Iron Man.
Yes, absolutely. Dude, I can't lie, man. Like, you know, I could pretend to be like this true cold underground guy, but the first time I ever heard Pantera was from Rob Van Dam in ECW.
Well, there you go.
So,
well, you have to hear it somewhere.
Yeah.
ECW was kind of cold and underground.
That's true. I mean, as far as wrestling goes, but you know, the first time I heard so many different groups, the first time I saw Insane Clown Posse was on ECW and WWF. So there was all kinds of weird stuff that I get exposed to just through wrestling, but a lot of good stuff too. So,
but it's Paul Heyman for you, how he that tapped into that is the same. That it sounds like you might be of the same generation where how so many people still, if you're born in it, early to mid 80s, I guess, especially how the PlayStation game Tony Hawk, the Tony Hawk game, became this gateway drug for people that got into punk and hardcore and all that.
Yeah,
because of the soundtrack. If you put that disc into the stereo, and I guess it's I guess that happens a lot in different ways in different periods. How just when people manage to marry capture whatever they're doing to capture the zeitgeist in one way or another through, marrying what they're doing with the music going on at the time.
I agree, man. And that's also a big one for me is the Tony Hawk. You totally hit it, man. You're understanding, dude. I think, I am here to talk with you about the new album, Hunter Gatherer, coming out August 7th. But first off, like, dude, it's a hell of a time to release an album, right?
Yeah, it is. But we could not do it.
Yeah.
For, I guess there are two main reasons for it. One is purely artistic. We made it. It's going out.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's why we made it. Then the other side was that even if we would think, there might have been something to be said about from a business perspective to just make sure that the marketing will really help sell those tickets in the future and all that blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That might have been a reason to come up with an excuse and wait a year. But that would, number one, it would be simply be dishonest. And then even if we wanted to, Avatar Country came out as a complete surprise to people. We didn't tell them we were in the studio.
Yeah.
Now this time we were way more open with the journey and made sure that people know that we were doing it because we wanted to do everything different this time.
Totally.
And for that reason, so people knew that the album was, all right, that's a wrap on the vocals. It's going to get mixed in the coming weeks. To just pretend that nothing really happened for a year, it would have been a creative death for us, I think, or maybe not a death, but put us in a coma.
And,
so there's no other way to say it for us. And still, people are out there. People still want to listen to new music.
Yeah.
And we still want to put it out. It's simple as that.
Awesome, man. Well, I look forward to hearing the full thing. And what are a few words you would use to describe the album, if you could? What can you tell us about it?
Oh, a few words. I don't know if you got the right guy for it, but I can use words. The simple word, like, this is our darkest and most aggressive album in a if not ever, then in a long, long time. Basically, I actually did another interview where the lady who interviewed me was doing comparison to a very old album of ours, Schlacht.
Yeah.
And just in terms of aggression and still how very different they are. And it comes, I guess, from a certain maturity in the best sense of the world. And I guess the analogy I used to that made sense to me is the different types of aggression is if we think of it as a violent, each album as violent horror movies, then Schlacht, that was made when we were much younger, was more blunt. That is the axe murderer, that is Friday the 13th, that's Jason, that is gruesome, slightly ineffective, brutal act of murder in a horror movie.
Okay.
And now the killer, the horror movie killer that would be better represent this one is something with more precision. Mm. One of those kind of, you know, how you suspect, how people think that Jack the Ripper probably was a surgeon or something, highly educated because of how competent his acts were from a cutting standpoint. This is more razor sharp like that, more, I guess, more articulate in what we want to say and why we want to say the things we say.
Huh.
So it has that going for it, for sure. And that kind of, again, maturity in the best sense of the word, I guess, it links itself to the fact that I swear I was going somewhere with this, but now I lost it.
It sounds more finely tuned and kind of more deliberate in your mission then.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's also because we did have this period now of where we decided to try comedy and put out this inside joke of an album, and we had an amazing time.
Yeah.
And especially because all the fans were so on board to play with us and do this insane world building with us, that magical time. But as we did that, the thing is that I personally learned to use music as and creating music as a form of therapy in my life, and just how, you know, like our, like songwriters do, processing life experiences and emotions through what I write. And doing Avatar had this Avatar Country had this side effect of it was kind of like suddenly I didn't get to see my psychiatrist for 2 years. So the darkness that came up on this album became more compact, pitch black than ever before. Oh yeah, and that also another side of it, and again, that was the thing about the maturity.
Yeah,
side of it, I guess, is I can't believe I lost it again. Sorry,
that's okay.
I was totally heading somewhere with this, and
no worries, man. Well,
yeah. You have so with each album. Each album has been 100% honest, as far as I'm concerned, and we are concerned as a band.
Yeah.
But it's just that with every passing year, there is a level of self-consciousness you can remove. You can peel off another layer of the onion that is you, if you try to at least work on yourself. And this is yet another layer removed where I feel the subjects of the songs and how personal they are as they always were, but it's just at this time they reach a new, definitely hit a new level of that this time, where and because Feathers and Flesh was also very much about failure and death and failure. But I was, I guess, very fear-driven. And then there's an attempt this time maybe to... The songs that deal with those kind of subjects are... It's more about owning it this time. So more outspoken in that sense.
Oh, that's...
And then other than that, it's just, again, angry, aggressive, heavy, to the point, razor-sharp, articulated, therefore we still are in that stride where I get to say without feeling like I'm lying to you that it's our best work yet.
That's awesome, man. I'm excited to hear it, and I'm excited to hear that raw honesty mixed with like your guys' like badass, just like all in, but also razor sharp focus. I like these descriptions, man. It sounds like it's going to be a hell of an album. Again, it's coming out August 7th. It's called Hunter Gatherer. Yeah, man, it's been awesome talking with you. I appreciate you taking the time. I have one more question for you, though, and this is gonna bring you down a weird road. So be prepared. Pick a scar. All right. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar, Johannes.
All right. Looking around on my, I have one on my skull where I fell out of the, what's it called? Carriage, baby carriage.
Oh no!
When I didn't need to sew. It was exactly as bad as it could get without needing any kind of actual surgical treatment.
Yeah.
But there's not much more than that, I guess.
Brutal,
well,
baby.
I'm missing a piece of my one of my front teeth that has been repaired. It's not a scar per se, but still, I was 12, and we were visiting relatives, and I was responsible for my two younger sisters taking them to a playground, and so I played with them, and whatever we were playing had me being on top. You know, it's one of those, it's kind of like a tree house built by the government, kind of structure, so it was up pretty high.
Yeah.
And I forgot for a moment that gravity was a thing and that I wasn't Spider-Man, and I jumped down from it to land on the ground, all Batman badass. Halfway through the day, I realized that this was a stupid mistake. And I kind of land kneeling, you know? So kind of looked like Batman on a distance, I guess. Kneeling on one knee and my hands hitting the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess my head kept having momentum enough so that I hit my chin on my knee, and I then was able to somehow bite a bit through my tongue and slam my teeth together, so a chip of a tooth came out.
Jeez.
And that squishy stuff inside was exposed, so breathing was unpleasant.
Damn, dude.
Oh, so, yeah.
Wow. Oh, sounds pretty brutal, dude. You're a brutal little kid. Yeah.
That's the only way to live, man.
Do you have any final words for the Northwest audience before I let you go?
For the Northwest?
Yeah, for Seattle. Any final words?
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you specifically. You probably have the most, suck up to you because the nature up there, man.
Yeah.
You're lucky. It's not that far off from Northern Europe and stuff, but still the magnitudes of every time we're there. And aside from, you know, I love playing Seattle and all around there, but I love playing everywhere. So the fact that it always feels special is, you shouldn't feel too special about that. But the nature, the surroundings, the whole, I hear the Twin Peaks soundtrack in my head, whether I listen to it or not, when around there. It's Pacific Northwest is one of my favorite areas of the planet.
Dude, if you come back and there's a time in the next couple of years where you guys were touring, well, when anyone can tour, but, you know, when you guys come back, I would love to bring you to the restaurant where they film Twin Peaks.
For a cherry pie and a damn good cup of coffee.
Absolutely, dude. That'd be a really cool time.
Awesome. I appreciate the offer. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. And again, the new Avatar record is called Hunter Gatherer, coming out August 7th on E1. You can pre-order a copy. Johannes Eckerstrom, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you, and all the best to you. And stay safe until we can tour again.
Thanks, dude. And we look forward to hearing the album. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.